All this week, we're talking about obesity in a series we're calling America on the Scale. Yesterday, we heard about how more than one third of American adults are obese and how difficult it can be to change that.
This is the way people have been eating for the last three decades, and you don't kind of snap your fingers and say, okay, you know, tomorrow everyone's going to wake up and drink kale smoothies all day. It doesn't happen like that.
Well, now we're going to hear how obesity affects people on a personal level with three people who are living with or have lived with excess weight, medically defined obesity. Ronald Rios is 20 years old. He joins us from Bend, Oregon. Ronald, welcome.
Thanks.
And we're also joined by Maura Flanagan, who is in her 50s. She lives in Bethesda, Maryland. Maura, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And Talanda Henderson is also with us. She's in her 30s and lives in Arlington, Virginia. Thank you for joining us, Talanda.
Thank you very much.
And Maura, I want to start with you. Give us a sense of your story, first of all, and how weight became a central issue in your life.
It started for me when I was in college, trying to get ready for exams. I would start eating a lot of carbs, candy, Cokes. I would drink a lot of those just in order to be able to stay up late and complete tasks. And basically, I gained about 100 pounds.
And then 9 years ago, you decided to try and get back to your original weight. How did you do it?
Well, at that point in time, I had some very bad medical news. I had gone and seen a new doctor and found out that I had diabetes and all these things that were the matter with me. And what I decided to do was to do something kind of drastic. So I began a program that was a liquid diet, and then eventually I moved on to a food-based diet, and that lasted for about 8 months, and I was under the supervision of a doctor during the entire time. I also met with dietitians to come up with a food plan when I moved completely back to food, and I lost 100 pounds.
And do you feel like you've done it? You've accomplished what you needed to accomplish?
I still struggled with about 20 pounds that I have to work at keeping off, and I'm working on that now. But I feel like I really am a much healthier person. And so, yes, I would say that I achieved my goal.
Ronald, let me go to you. You are 20 years old. You've struggled with your weight for most of your life. What were you up to at your peak, or what are you up to at this point?
Well, at my peak, I was, I think, about 600 pounds. And ever since I started my diet to now, I'm down to 360.
Wow, wow. So you've lost quite a bit of weight there. And mm-hmm. How did you do that? And why did you do that?
Well, I'd been morbidly obese my entire life. I was just never taught moderation growing up. And so I could kind of snack or binge on whatever I really wanted. It wasn't until last year when I hit my peak weight that I really just decided that I didn't like this quality of life, and I kind of wanted to feel healthier, and I wanted to be more active. And so I actually just completely cut out all processed foods from my diet. It wasn't really like a special diet. It was just eating whole natural foods and then drinking as much water as I could a day. At 600 pounds, I was drinking 2 gallons of water a day because that was what was recommended to me. For the first month of my diet, I lost 20 pounds a week with that, just doing that, no exercise.
And was there pressure on you from the outside to do that, or was it something that you decided on your own that you wanted to do?
I wouldn't really call it pressure. I had a lot of friends and family who really wanted – they had known me my entire life, and they didn't want me to, you know, to kind of succumb to heart disease or anything. They wanted the best for me, and I guess I didn't really pay attention to that until this last year, because I started last year on my diet, and I just decided that I needed to be healthier.
Now, Talanda, as we hear those stories, your story is actually quite different. Tell us what's been going on with you.
I was thin as a child and started, I guess, not being thin when I was in adolescence. I sort of kept growing outwards, even though I'd stopped growing upwards. And when I was just out of college, I joined Weight Watchers and lost about 70 pounds. And then within 3 years, had gained twice as much back. And then in a conversation with a friend of mine who is also fat, just got into a whole different way of thinking about it. You know, what if you do all the right things and you don't lose weight? What does that mean? What if there's something that's impacting your weight and your health that's neither, that you can't see because of some odd correlation that we just don't know about just now. She really got me thinking about the way that studies about health and weight are generally funded by the diet industry, which profits off of people believing that losing weight is the most important thing. And I just got to a point, I went to one last Weight Watchers meeting and really had no interest in the level of self-loathing and left the meeting, canceled my membership, went to the public library and picked up Paul Campos's The Obesity Myth and haven't really looked back.
So you have decided not to worry about your weight at all?
Correct.
And has that made you happy?
Yes.
What do you think about that, Ronald, when you hear that?
I think it's perfectly fine not to worry about your weight. I mean, being overweight is, I would say, a lifestyle. And I feel like if someone's happy living that lifestyle, then more power to them. I do feel like the diet industry and all these like crazy crash diets, they don't really work that well for people. I feel like people are too hard on themselves when they diet. I feel like that's one of the reasons that people have such a hard time losing weight is as soon as they slip up, you know, they just – at least that's what I experienced is every time I slipped up, I would really like beat myself up over it. But I feel like if we kind of tackle dieting in a different way, I feel like a lot more people could do it. And I feel like that'd be really good for a lot of people.
Well, and Talanda, if somebody says to you, a friend or a parent says they're worried about your health or something like that, is that offensive to you?
It is. It's funny. I had to come out to my mother as fat because she kept expressing concern about my health. For me, it's more a matter of, do I have a sedentary lifestyle or an active lifestyle? Am I paying attention to what I'm eating? Or am I just kind of going with whatever happens to be in front of me? And what's important for me is that I can pay attention to those two things and not have a scale in my house. So I'm measuring my happiness and my health, not by a number on a scale.
And you've actually taken it a step further, and you say that you want to reclaim the word fat
yes.
and make it into a good word.
Yes. I mean, I would describe myself as fat. So does the friend that I was describing earlier. To me, it's like I'm describing myself as queer. It's a word that people have not have used in a pejorative way that it's just like, you know what? Let's just be honest. I could call myself fluffy. I could call myself heavy set. I don't like the phrase overweight because it assumes that there's a normal weight that I am over. I prefer to just say what it is, which is that I'm fat.
I want to ask each of you, as we talk this entire week about obesity, what is missing from the conversation? What do you think that people who are looking at this as a problem in this country, rising obesity rates across the country, what do you think needs to be heard? And I'll start with you, Talanda.
I think what people often don't hear is something called the obesity paradox. There are more and more studies coming out finding protective effects of obesity. So you have a group of people who are classified as obese, and then they're living longer than other people in the same study. And so it's not as simple as saying that being obese is bad for your health.
No, I agree that you can live a long life while being overweight. I do think we really shouldn't try to say that, you know, just because nothing has happened, that nothing will happen and that it's healthy. With like how we're trying to figure out ways to tackle like the growing, you know, amount of people who are obese, like we should really bring to the front, like stop trying to make these advertisements where, you know, the goal of losing weight is to be attractive. I think we should start making like these commercials about like quality of life. Like when I lost weight to try to be attractive, I was doing it for other people. And I think at the end of the day, it didn't make me happy because I didn't feel like even at the end of the day, if I lost like 5 pounds that week, I didn't feel like I had done enough. But I knew that when I tackled the same problem and I did it for the sake of me being healthier, it didn't matter how much weight I lost. The fact of the matter was I lost weight. Therefore, I was taking a step in the right direction, you know. And I think that's what we should be promoting more, less like losing weight to be attractive, more just losing weight to have a better quality of life.
Maura?
The one thing that I think is missing a lot is there is this stereotype of people who are obese as being fat and lazy. And all of the people I've met that have been obese at the National Center for Weight and Wellness, they are incredibly hardworking people. They're frequently the most devoted colleagues and family members. And really what happens is at the end of the day, they don't have enough time or energy to devote to themselves. So really, to me, it's that people are overextended and they just are not able to take care of their health.
That's Maura Flanagan. We've also been speaking with Ronald Rios and Talanda Henderson, three people who have lived with or are living with excess weight. Obviously, some different opinions there. But thank you so much to all of you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'd love to hear your story of how you are dealing with or have dealt with obesity. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to hear from the head of the National Institutes of Health about the cost of obesity and the latest scientific research on it.
We, after all, humans, think of ourselves as a collection of human cells, but we're actually also coexisting with millions, in fact, billions and trillions of microbes that live on us and in us. And it's very clear now that the particular set of microbes that live in your gastrointestinal tract plays a role in your risk of obesity.
That's tomorrow on Here and Now, and you can let us know your story at hereandnow.org.